someone who will mentor you or will teach you. But not only that, this guy is such an exceptional preacher that, you know, I'm learning hopefully to be a better communicator myself, because you know what? We never stop growing. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We can't ever stop growing. So this morning, I want to discuss, we're going to continue the series. Hasn't Linda the last couple of weeks just hit it out of the park? You know, she's just a great girl. She is a good pastor. My wife, she is a great pastor, and you know what? We are so blessed. We have an alumni page from our Bible college. It's called Master's Bible College and Seminary. When we went there, it was called Eastern Pentecostal Bible College. And so somebody put on there, "What's your greatest memory from Bible college?" And Linda's favorite one, but she didn't post it, was when we were in our first year of Bible college, we had classroom A on the main floor, and it was kind of like a theater type of classroom. And it was a course we were taking called Theology 1. And our teacher was Dr. Carl Verge, and he found out that it was our anniversary. And we went to Bible college. We were married 8 years when we got saved, and then we went to Bible college. So we were in class, and so we were about 8 to 10 years older than all the students that were there, that were like all 19, 20 years old. And so we were 30 years old already, and we had already been married 10 years because we got married, I guess I was 32 because I got married, I was 22 years old. And Carl Verge, and this is Linda's greatest memory because she told me last night, he made us, because in those days there was a 6-inch rule. Do you know, anyone know what the 6-inch rule is?
Yeah.
A 6-inch rule, boys and girls, okay, they weren't, honestly. And he made us stand up in front of the whole class, full class. We had 500 students in those days, so this class probably had 75 students in it, stand up and kiss each other in front of all these kids. And so... And so we were talking last night, and that was Linda's fondest memory of Bible college. So isn't that good? So God is good. This morning I want to talk about God pursuing a relationship with you. Okay, so often we talk about us in hot pursuit of Him. And this morning, I want to change that around. I want to talk about God pursuing a relationship with you. And even better than that, a love relationship with you. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, he said this. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great command." Amen? When I first met Linda, I realized that I had deep feelings for her. And there's times now, after all of these years, I still do once in a while. And I have to keep talking. This is being recorded. So they're going to wonder what's... They're gonna be wondering what your response is to me. The shed. We have 3 sheds, you know, so no heat in any of them. So I realized that I had deep feelings for Linda, and I pursued a relationship with her, and she was aware of it. She was aware that I was doing that. And I want to tell you something, folks, this morning. It is the same with God. God has pursued a relationship with us because He has deep feelings for you. Do you know that? He has deep feelings for you. Stop striving all the time in life and wondering about whether you measure up to Him or your feelings for Him are there. That's good too. But this morning, think about it. He has deep feelings for each of you. He really does. He has deep feelings. And so just as I took the initiative to pursue Linda, God is the one who takes the initiative to pursue you, right? And he does. And so even now, as we begin this message, and some of you are here, and maybe, I don't know what zone you're in, maybe you're zoned out, maybe you're starting to zone in, I don't know what zone you're in, but I want to tell you, right now, even as we begin this service, he's in hot pursuit of you, okay? He's in hot pursuit of you, and you, and you, and you. He's in hot pursuit of you this morning. And the love, this love relationship is not just one-sided. Amen? Linda could have not responded to me by saying she was not interested. I couldn't understand why. But she could have responded that way. And I wonder, and I wondered this throughout the day yesterday. I was texting someone back and forth in the church here who likes the same kind of music I do, and we're sending different music back and forth, and as I was preparing my heart and listening to music and throughout the day. And I was wondering this. I wonder, how often do we respond to God saying, I'm not interested? Okay. Maybe not right outward and say, God, I'm not interested in that. But just by our actions, our moods, our just the way we are, how often do we respond to God by saying, I'm not interested? And you see, he wants you to know him and to worship him. That's his desire. So when we come in here and we say, okay, everyone, stand up. Let's raise our hands to the Lord and everything like that. You know what? If you want to sit down and don't raise your hand, it doesn't matter. He wants a heart that is loving him and worshiping him. That's who God is. And when you get an understanding, a deeper understanding of who God is, your walk with him, or your walk, your Christian journey, will be a lot more enjoyable than maybe it is or it has been. And as a Christian, this is the very purpose of your life. So the thing is, let's say I'm talking to every single person in here who would say that, yes, I am a committed, sold out, born again believer. I'm on that page. I'm there. I'm in. Well, if that's the case, then what I'm talking about this morning is the very purpose of your life. And that's why he took the blinders off of your eyes, so that you could walk in this purpose and not all bound up and all of that type of stuff. So that's who he is. So if you were standing before God, little quiz for you right now, close your eyes a second. If you were standing before God, could you describe your relation to him by saying, I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength? Okay, so quickly, I'm going to give you two answers. Yes, no. Yes or no? Now, it's interesting because we could summarize the whole Old Testament with just a couple of verses. And it's this, Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the greatest command. This is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. It's just the greatest. There isn't one that's better. This is the greatest, greatest one. And the heart cry of God this morning, do you think for 1 second, do you think, where's that buddy who came in here this morning? Hey, buddy, Joshua, how are you? Josh, just stand for 1 second. This is Joshua. He invited Christ into his life at the end of the service last week. Now, if you think for 1 second that God isn't happy about this, OK? Okay? If you think for one second that there isn't, I don't know if our God dances, okay? But I could see him doing a happy dance, okay? I don't know what theology that fits into. I don't care. The heart cry of God expressed through the Old Testament, the essence of the New Testament is the same. Quoting, Jesus said the greatest commandment in the law in Mark chapter 20, verse 30, and says, and he said this, he's quoting the commandment, and he says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And for the committed Christian, everything depends on this. Everything depends on this. I'm with people day in and day out who their life is crashing and they have a hard time saying this. They really have a hard time saying this. For the committed Christian, everything depends on this. Whoever has my command and keeps them is the one who loves me. Do you realize that the Lord does not just give you life? He is your life. How many of you know that? Like, you know what? I got saved in 1989, January, I think it was January 29th. Who can go to a calendar back in 1989 and tell me if January 29th was a Sunday night? Anyone? Okay, I think it was January 29th, 1989. You know what? It's been good. It's been good. And what is one thing that God wants from you this morning? It's the same thing that I want from Linda, I want from my friends, I want from my family. I believe it is the same thing that all of us want. All of us want it, right? We all want love. We all want to be loved. How many of you want to be loved? Okay? How many of you want to love? I want to be loved. And he wants us, he wants you to love him with all your being. Because he wants you to experience a supernatural love that he will give to you. And in response of that, not because you're doing the right thing and you're going to church, because you're supposed to go to church and you're doing this, you're going to Sunday school, you're going to connect group, you're doing this and dot, 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 dot. You're doing. And you're driving yourself crazy. He just wants you to love him. Because he loves you that much. It's the same thing. I want Linda to love me. It was a Sunday, January. Thank you, Richard. I could always count on Richard. He uses that phone sometimes in our class to turn up the volume on the TV or turn it down. And he's just a great guy. So this is the greatest commandment. And we talk a lot about experiencing God in our circles, don't we? You know, we've talked about that often, often, often. We talk about, you know, experiencing God, Pentecostal, charismatic. We experience the presence of God. We love God. And we talk a lot about that. But you know what? If it's going to happen, it will depend on you having a love relationship that the scripture speaks about. It really does. We don't love God just because we come in here and we worship and we do all of these things. We love God. And so it's no different in life relationships. If I am loved and respected, how can you expect me to respond differently? We want and expect so much from God. You know, at times I have to tell you something. I get discouraged with the immaturity in some of you because we expect so much from God. Okay, it's almost like he's a slot machine, and you know, and we put in our whatever we put in those things, and we pull a lever and boom, 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 all the blessings come out. And if they don't come out the way we want them to come out, we're mad at God. And you know what? We want and we expect so much from him, yet some of you and some of, and sometimes me, our love relationship with him is not where it should be. And so we've been talking about lining up our wills with him so that we're walking in his will. And folks, do you see the results? Do you see the results, what's happening in the house? It's not rocket science. We're lining up our wills with him. And we're seeing signs and wonders and miracles, and we're hearing of healings. Last January, for 8 weeks in a row, we had someone give their heart to Jesus in this house. Then all of a sudden, they went dry. And I often wondered why. And this year, for some reason, something supernatural came over this house where we're gathering together and we're lining up our will with the Father. Okay, we're not striving. We don't have a formula. We don't have anything. We just have a corporate desire to do that. And you know what? He's honoring. He's welcome. He's welcome here. He's welcome. We feel confident that when we pray to our Father, that he is going to shower us with love and blessings and things. So for me, personally, when my relationship is not where it should be, I don't know, maybe you guys can relate to this, I become selfish. And I become self-serving. Can anyone relate? And I begin to nitpick. Are any of you nitpickers? Would you admit it? And I begin to find fault in people. I become a nitpicker, I find fault in people. Pauline, you have been so nice to me over the years, but you know what? If I am not right with God, I could probably nitpick and find some fault in you. Just saying. So as a result of me telling you that, wouldn't you rather me be walking in a love relationship with God? Right? So I'm just saying, I find fault in life situations. It's funny because I didn't follow the comment that our prime minister said this week about whatever he said. And so Linda was telling, I said, well, what's that he talked about this week? And so she told me, and like every American newscaster thinking like, what happened to this guy? Did he lose his mind or something like this? And you know what we did? Because I listened to worship music during the day and we were just sitting watching hockey. We kind of prayed for him. You know? Do you know that on Wednesday night was very, very powerful? He didn't listen to it yet, but we were in a group and we went into Messenger on our phone and we recorded all of us praying and we sent it off to our mayor. Because you know what? Our hearts were in the right place. But if they weren't in the right place, I could be like many, many people. Oh, look at North Bay. You know what? They haven't plowed properly. They haven't salted. And like I see in the Nugget and all of these things. And you know, where we could say we are blessed. Amen. Now, when my relationship with God is healthy and it's flowing both ways, not just one way, both ways, I see gold. There once was a man, his name was Jed. There's gold in those pews. Yahoo! Okay? And I see possibilities in people and in all situations. I see possibilities here. Every gift that we need in the house is here. Amen. We don't have to go outside and import spiritual gifts into the house because every single one of them is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. So let's turn that off. I'm not in a love relationship. Oh, my goodness. Do I have to go to church to meet these miserable people again? Oh, my goodness. Did you see how Ron, man, Ron, he was like on fire with his guitar. And they're just snoring away and they're sleeping. See the difference, folks? A love relationship with Him starts to produce spiritual fruit in us. Okay? It's not positive thinking, it's spiritual fruit. And we want to begin to download that into each other. We want to be able to give that away so people's eyes will be open, so that every January 29th and January 30th and February 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, there will be a Ken Jeffrey and a Linda Jeffrey that will give their heart to the Lord. Amen? Amen? So let's take a look at how God works for a minute and get a better understanding of how He operates. The pursuit. God always takes the initiative in a love relationship. And He must take the relationship if we are to experience Him. And this is the witness of the entire Bible. He came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He came to Noah. He came to Abraham. He came to Moses. He came to the prophets. And God took the initiative for each person in the Old Testament to experience Him in a personal fellowship of love. So that's God's DNA all the way right back. And this is also true of the New Testament. Jesus came to the disciples and He chose them to be with Him and experience His love. He came to Paul on the road to Damascus. Sin has affected us so deeply that no one seeks after God on their own initiative. So God has to take the initiative. And He draws us close to Himself. And He had something in mind when He called you. If you are here this morning and there was a season in your life when you invited Him into your life, He called you. Okay? The calling isn't off. Okay? Even though you may not have always paid your long distance bill on time, right? He hasn't cut the line off. Okay? You still have a direct line, buddy. That was pretty good. My rabbit trails are a little bit better than yours.
No way. I'm not fist pumping you after that.
We have so much fun in this church. Nicole, have you ever been to a Pentecostal church before? So this is just like, how many weeks have you been? About a month you've been coming? Couple of months? Yeah, you know what I like about you? Because I know you didn't grow up in these circles. And when I'm preaching, I look over at you sometimes. You're always smiling. That really makes me feel good, you know, because, like, you know, that's good. Because sometimes people who have been in church a long time, as preachers, we tell the same story over again because, you know, like, we don't have a life, you know. So we start to repeat ourselves. And so they roll their eyes at, so it's really refreshing when you look at someone. Now, Sharon Johnson is amazing because Sharon's been smiling at me now for 18 years. And, you know, I just love you, Sharon. And so thank you so much. You know, you just look, it's like, you know, it's just, she's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So He had something in mind. He began a work within your life, right? Do you remember the day when you gave your heart over to Him and He began to do that work within your life? And when He did, you began to experience this love relationship with God, and He began to open your understanding and to draw you closer to Himself. So you didn't have to strive to do that. He started to do that in your life. And when God comes into my life, into your life, and He fellowships with us, we respond to God's activity in our lives and we invite Him into our life to do what He pleases. Would you do that with me this morning once again? You may have already done it in your devotions, but would you invite Him into your life again to do what He wants to do? As opposed to all the time, it's like, God, 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 if you loved me, you would do this. Where did this come from? I didn't grow up in the church. Who taught this stuff? Like, what is this? This is bad theology. Okay, that's a one-way relationship. Any relationship is a two-way relationship. Amen. Right? So here, I'm going to tell you something that you already know. But guess what? You were created for time. Not for time, you were created for eternity. And again, oh man, I'm going a little bit longer than I wanted to. But again, listen, when I got saved, we had these wonderful, I've told you this before. Well, maybe not, because some of you haven't been here for 18 years. But for those of you who have been here for a long time, just close your ears. But when we got saved, we were taught that our journey on earth, it's just a time period, whether it's going to be 60 years, 80 years, 90 years, whatever it's going to be, 40 years. And we would spend all of the time in eternity. And this is the church that was a great church. And they really taught us well. And this is what we walked in, we believed. So every day when we get up, we would think about eternity, spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then somehow we got into other churches. And, you know, I'd have people who were 95 years old at the altar who wanted prayer so that they could be 20 years old again, and just holding on to this life, right? I want to be healthy until I go to glory, amen. Definitely, and I want you to be, but you know what? I want to see all of you in glory. That's the hope. That's the dream. So he did not create us for time. Time is your lifetime on earth, and it provides you opportunity to become acquainted with him. It is your opportunity for him to develop his character in his likeness in your life. That is love. Who do you know that wants to mentor you 24/7 for all of your time here? To be able to speak love so that his character would be manifest through your life. This is a pretty awesome God, wouldn't you say? So it's an opportunity for him to develop that. So if you just live for time, for here and now, you will miss the ultimate purpose of creation. If you live for time, you will allow your past. Now listen, some of you, okay? Listen and get it, because I don't want to have to repeat it all the time. Get it. If you just live for time, for the here and now, you will miss the ultimate opportunity, okay? If you live for time, you'll allow your past to mold and shape your life today. Okay? If you just live for time, you will allow your past to mold and shape you for today. Why? Why? Give it up. Give it away. Your life as a child ought to be shaped by the future, what you will be one day. God uses your present time to mold and shape your future usefulness on earth and also in eternity. You have some things in the past that may be having a negative influence on your life today. They may include a troubled background, failures, shame over some personal things, secret things that happened in your family, pride, your own pride, so on and so forth. You may realize that you are primarily being shaped by your past rather than your future. Stop it. Get help. The family of God. Get around people who demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in their life. And get well. And focus on the future and be useful to God. And allow him to speak through you. Amen? Amen? And be happy. Yes. Because that's where the joy is. Yes. That's where the joy is. Yes. I have things that could hold me back. Okay? I have things that could hold me back from my childhood. Just like some of you. How would you like to see your father drunk every single day of your whole life until you moved out of home and then he quit drinking, and when I went back, he couldn't remember the bad days. And we're supposed to just love him in the good days that are ahead. Thank goodness I gave my heart to the Lord at that time so that I could see the gold in him. Amen. Because you know what? As Christian, we should see the gold. I had to forgive him. And I had to forgive me. for having those ill feelings against him, and so do you. Don't be held back by stuff. Paul struggled with this problem, my friends. Here was his approach in Philippians. I'm not going to read it because I'm taking too long here this morning. But he was a true and faithful Jew of the royal tribe of Benjamin. How many of you knew that? Okay, that's who he was. He was faultless, it says, in keeping the laws of the Pharisees. He was zealous for God. He was prideful, and he could have easily stayed that way all of his life. But Paul wanted to know Christ. That was his desire, to be found by Christ and to become like him, to attain a future blessing, resurrection from the dead. So what does he do? He forgets his past. He forgets his past, with the help of God, of course. Okay, he forgets his past. He strains on towards the future. He presses on towards the goal of the heavenly prize. Paul's real desire was to know Christ and become like him. Amen? And our lives must be like Paul's, to come under the direction so that we could know him, we could love him, and we could become like Christ. So don't let your present be molded and shaped by what it's possible that you will become in Christ. See, you were created for eternity this morning, amen? So walking with God. I'm just going to finish up with a couple of things here. I won't do a summary. But God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, right? For a love relationship, right? Can you say that with me? A love relationship. And after they had sinned, they heard God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day, and they hid because of their fear and their shame, right? How many of you have ever hid from God because of your fear and your shame? Hey, thank you. Now try to sense the heart of a loving father when he asks that wonderful love question, where are you? And God knew that something had happened through that love relationship. Okay, he knew. So the thing is, this morning, he knows if something has happened between you and the love relationship with him. He knows. He knows that. And he is not happy about that. It's not like he's going to come with a 12-gauge shotgun and blow your head off. He longs for this relationship. And he knew something had happened. So I ask you this morning, do you struggle to have time with God alone? Do you struggle to have time with God alone? If that is a problem that you face, here's a suggestion for you. Then make it a priority in your life. Because you know why? You will learn much about God, his purposes, his ways, when you spend time with him. And the more you know him and spend time with him and experience his love, the more you will love him. It's the same thing with, I go back to Linda. We have spent a lot of time in our relationship learning to communicate, learning to, right?
Okay, come on.
What's that, you give? So let me quickly summarize what I said this morning. And it's this. My Christian life depends on the quality of my love relationship with God. Yes? Okay. God created me for a love relationship with him. Amen. A love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor in my life. Amen? Is that an honest amen?
Yes.
Okay. No, don't say it for me. Say it for you. God did not create me for time. He created me for eternity. Okay? I will let my present be molded and shaped by what I am to become in Christ. Can you make that decision this morning? I will make the priority in my life to come to love Him with all my heart. I will have quiet time because I know Him and love Him, not in order to learn about Him. I do not choose Him. He chooses me, loves me, and reveals His eternal purposes for my life. So it's our surrender this morning to God's love relationship. And I pray this morning that God has shown you again a deep meaning and total necessity of continuing a love relationship with Him. Just thank you for being good people, okay? And I marked on Facebook, I said, I have an encouraging word for you this morning. And I hope you are encouraged, okay? But you know what? Stop trying to change yourself, because it ain't going to happen. Get into a love relationship with Him and allow Him to transform you. Okay? And guess what? Some of your stinking thinking or stuff like this is going to have to sometimes, or some of your opinions or some of your stuff like I was talking about before, criticalness and stuff like this and pointing fingers and stuff, if you allow Him to love you, you may have to change. And He's not changing you to hurt you. He's changing you to help you. And you know, isn't it amazing how we could justify things before God? Well, you know what? How many of you grew up in a Catholic church? Well, God, you know my heart. It was only a little white sin. Have you people ever heard about little white sins? Right? Is that what it was called, a white sin? It's only a little white sin, you know? So, Father, I thank you this morning. Ron, would you come worship team? I thank you, Father, this morning for your goodness, your graciousness, your holiness. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning of being able to open up the Word and to bring some joy into the house and through worship and greeting each other and giving of offerings. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you. We honor you in this house tonight, this morning. And Father, we just give ourselves to you. So anyways, over in this section, over near the window here, close your eyes, please. How many of you here in this section over here, close your eyes, please, where this is kind of spoken to this morning, and you just need to allow the Lord to love you. You need to invite Him in. Anyone in this section? Thank you. Anyone else? What about this middle section over here? Anyone else? You just need to walk close with God and let Him love you. Anyone? What about over in this section over here? You know what? I think all of us could have put up our hand, and it doesn't really matter. So let's stand together.